Welcome to the Grace Vineyard Podcast, where we are building growing communities of worshipers who are becoming like Christ, empowered to do His work. We hope you enjoy this message.
Wow, what a morning, huh? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for speaking to us and touching us, and maybe a review. Did God speak to us already today? So, I think Snake had the mic first and talked about God like a father on a hill calling us to himself, for some of us in a gentle way of repentance, turning away from things that are between us and God. Repentance is a change of mind. Often it involves actually saying no to a sinful choices that we've been making and turning to stop doing that. Sometimes it's not so much just sin, but it's maybe putting things besides God first in our life, which I guess is sin, but it doesn't feel quite so flagrant, right? That would be having idols. But he called us to a gentle return to the Lord, I think. And then, Lori Frackleberry had a word, and she saw that while we're all calling the same direction to the Father, that He has individual paths for us. And there was an invite to seek the Lord for the particular path that He has for you to walk on, which could be encouraging for some of us to know that God sees me, has my name on His heart, with a path on His heart for me to walk in. And then Jenna had that word to talk about coming before the Lord like little children, and there was an invitation to respond to God as Father, as Papa, and just in childlike simplicity, right? And then Lisa had a follow-up word, feeling like on your path, some of you are at a barrier, which is probably tied into the issue of repentance. And we stood up and we prayed for each other. And some of you got touched just in that time of prayer. And if you haven't made it all the way past what you needed from the Lord in our ministry time at that moment, we'll be praying for each other at the end here. So hang on to that. And was there a follow-up? I think Samuel got up on and just kind of tied it all together again with the call just to come close to the Lord. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. And we want to not just be excited that you spoke, but we want to listen to what you say and respond. So our hearts are open to you. And as we look to learn from your word, we ask you to speak to us, ask you help me to say what you want us to grow in as a congregation, as a family. Open all of our ears to hear what you're saying. Speak to us by your Spirit more, to instruct us, to inspire us, to exhort us, God. We want to know your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. So another piece of paper you got, lots of papers, huh, is an outline with information about what we're speaking about today. That says times of refreshing on the front. There's a waterfall. You see that big waterfall? This is mostly scripture that I'm drawing your attention to. So I felt to share with you some thoughts that might make us aware of possibilities to increase our faith and our prayers. I have a lot on my mind on this topic. Books on my mind, and I want to hopefully just encourage us with as many thoughts as we can share in the time we have today, and we'll see if maybe I'll be impressed to talk a little bit more about it. But I've called this talk Times of Refreshing, and I'm basing it on a particular phrase that Peter spoke, Times of Refreshing. And I want to turn your attention to Acts chapter 3. Those of you that know the story of Acts know that this is a recording, a history of the church, the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the early church, beginning with Jesus after his resurrection, before he's ascended to the Father in the first chapter. He ascends to the Father. He gives some instructions to his disciples about waiting for the power of the Spirit. In the second chapter of this book, we hear the story of the day of Pentecost, when the promised Holy Spirit that's been promised by prophets for hundreds or thousands of years and by Jesus' own teaching to his disciples is fulfilled. And as 120 of the disciples of Jesus are gathered in a room, the Holy Spirit is poured out on them in such a way that it sounds like a rushing mighty wind, and they visibly see what looks like tongues of fire. And you know, when you've seen fire, you know it often looks like tongues, right? The way it laps up in a fireplace or wherever you have a fire. They literally saw tongues of fire, an evidence of the return of the glory of God, the Shekinah glory that had been in the temple, things that we've been talking about in recent weeks about the presence of God. That happened. They begin to speak in other tongues that people understood in their own languages that were in the crowd outside this home. There was prophecy and speaking forth the works of God in multiple languages. It was just this marvelous thing. Peter gets up and preaches a message and says, "This is not craziness. These people aren't drunk like some of you are saying," because there was such wildness. People in the crowd that had gathered thought these people are drunk. Peter said, "No, this is a fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel, where God said, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh in the last days, and your young men and your old men will dream dreams and see visions, and they'll prophesy, and it'll be for all people." And he talked a little bit more in a sermon that he began to preach. People responded, saying, "What should we do?" And he said, "You need to repent and be baptized. You need to turn away from your sins. You need to flee this wicked generation and the wrath of God that's coming, and come to Jesus, the Messiah, for salvation." And they did. Something amazing happened. 3,000 people in one day joined this group of believers, and the Church of Jesus Christ was born on that day. What you're part of today is an extension of what happened on that day that you read about in Acts chapter 2. I hope you've read Acts chapter 2. If you haven't, what on earth? Get a Bible, pull out your phone and get a Bible on your phone. If you don't know how to read, press the play button and let someone else read it to you on your phone, or call me up and I'll read it to you. It's so phenomenal. So now Acts chapter 3 comes along. Jesus is gone. The church is going. There's 3,000 people. It's a few days later, maybe weeks. We're not sure, but it's really close in time. Peter and his friend John are on their way to temple. At the time of prayer, there's a man who's been crippled since his birth. And he used to sit at the temple with a sign and a little jar or tin cup or something to get money, and he'd ask for people to give money so he could live because he couldn't work. And Peter looks at him, and John looks at him, and they look straight at him, and he looks, "Oh, they're going to give me some money," he thinks. And Peter says, "We don't have any silver, we don't have any gold, but what we have, we do give you." He grabs the man's hand and says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And the man stands up. He's never walked in his life. I had a little season where I had to learn how to walk and get my balance back. It takes a while. This guy, in a minute, not only has his legs working, but his balance is working, and he's running through the temple, jumping up and down, praising God. Have you heard this story? So people now come running again, going, "What's happening?" And remember, there's temple courts. It's a large area. There's lots of people. Peter preaches another sermon, and he says, "Why are you looking at me like I did something special? Don't you know that Jesus, who you guys have crucified, is the Son of God, and by faith in his name, this man stands before you whole. You need to trust in him." And in that talk, he says this that comes to our phrase. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Interesting that the Spirit of God has been leading us to have some words about repentance just this morning before we ever opened up the Bible. He might have something to say to us. Let the church say amen. that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that he may send the Christ who's been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. The indication there is that Jesus is held in the heavens until something happens, something in God's timetable, some work. We don't know exactly. You know, they thought he'd be back their generation. Every generation has thought Jesus would return. We know that Jesus is going to return, but the sense is that until he returns, there will be over and over times of refreshing for the people of God. And I want to encourage us in faith to know that this is a reality, this is a possibility, and this is the history of the world. From the time of the kingdom established in Israel through all of the church age, there's been these seasons of refreshing, sometimes called revival, sometimes called renewal, sometimes called awakening. Well, as Peter is speaking and John is speaking, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish religion who killed Jesus, come and arrest them. They don't like that they are saying, you guys killed Jesus and he's the Messiah and you ought to repent. They arrest Peter and John and throw them in prison. But so many people heard the Holy Spirit speaking that the number grew to 5,000. Now that is said in the notes that I printed out before you, but if you scan down your notes, you see Acts 4:4. It says, many who heard the message believed, and the number grew to be about 5,000. I'm describing a season of refreshing that they experienced. It had started, Peter began to speak about it, and it began to grow. So by the end of chapter 4 of Acts, the believers are having another prayer meeting. Peter and John get out of prison, the jail. They come back to the people. They begin to call on God, asking him to do more than he's already done. I think from 0 to 5,000 is pretty good. But they said, we want more. And I think God liked it. And God responded. So you read about that in Acts chapter 4, the end, verse 29. Here's part of the prayer. Lord, consider their threats. They'd just been arrested. And enable your servants, us. We could pray this prayer today. Enable us, Lord. Lord, we call on you. Enable us to speak your word with great boldness. Now, they've just been preaching with boldness, but they apparently wanted more. To speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus. They just raised a crippled man who had been crippled since birth, but they're asking for more. Heal through the name of your servant Jesus. And after they prayed, verse 31, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Some thought it was an earthquake, but it wasn't. It was the shaking of the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, they'd just been filled with the Holy Spirit. So apparently they got refilled with the Holy Spirit. They got more. They got a fresh infilling for today, which I could use today. Well, they spoke the word of God boldly. And then something happened. Incredible unity, incredible love. So God is moving in a season of refreshing on this brand new church. All the believers, the Bible records, were of one heart and one mind. Can you imagine that? All of the believers were of one heart and one mind, and they got generous. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. Grace was upon them in greatness. You go down to chapter 5 as it continues the story. It says this amazing thing. More and more women and men believed in the Lord and were added to their number. So the church is growing by the Spirit of God. As a result, just let this kind of shake up your imagination. People brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem. Crowds gathered from other towns. You know, they came from Escondido and Vista and Encinitas, and they came from Orange County. You know, you see what I'm saying? And they didn't drive, by the way, because they didn't have, I don't know how they got there, but they didn't take their Toyota. So that at least Peter's shadow might fall. Crowds from around, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits. And this is phenomenal. I didn't take the time to look this up. I don't know how many times you hear this, but it said all of them were healed. What a time of refreshing. So throughout history, seasons and times of refreshing have come. And we could talk for hours telling the stories. But one of the guys that writes about this, he's recently passed away, I think in the past decade. I had some secondhand contact with him when he was in his 90s. He wrote one of his books was called Revival Fire. And he just records stories and history of revival throughout the ages, going back into the Bible and in our times. God's presence, he says, and power are so mightily and extensively at work during revival that God accomplishes more in hours or days than usually results from years of faithful non-revival ministry. Revival usually involves some preaching and evangelism, but revival is far more than evangelism. Man can evangelize. Only God can give revival. So there's a faithfulness that the people of God are to exercise, doing the works of sharing the love of God with their neighbors, feeding the hungry, working with the poor, preaching the word, praying for the sick, gathering together to worship, bringing their tithes and offerings, gathering to study the Bible, you know, just consistent day after day, telling people they ought to give their lives to Jesus and he'll forgive their sins and give them a new life, day after day, year after year. But there are these seasons where God seems to say, I'm going to put my foot on the gas pedal right now and give you more than you could ever, ever get from your best efforts and from the ongoing work that you're doing. I'm going to pour out my spirit, like we just read in Acts chapter 3, 4, and 5. A couple words. So I felt like I should just begin to maybe talk a little bit about this with us, because I think some of us might not even know about our history. And I obviously don't have time to go in great length today because of what God has already done in our midst. But this might help in some of our thinking. People that study these things have taken the idea of refreshing, revival, and given us a few different words to just give us handles. This is not Bible words. This is just to help us understand. So they refer to renewals, where the kingdom of God breaks into the church and refreshes and reforms, and God's rule becomes active just in the church. The church becomes more alive than it has been. You know, I think I need to be renewed if I'm not burning hot today, as hot as I've ever burned in my life. If I've started to grow cold, I need renewal. If you started to grow cold, you might need renewal. Well, they call it revival when it breaks into society. Revivals are the kingdom in and through the church breaking into the world, bringing all the works of the kingdom, especially multitudes coming to faith in Christ, like we were reading about. Do any of you know about what happened in the United States in Pensacola in the mid-90s? One, two. So there's a little Assembly of God church that was called Brownsville Assembly of God. And they, on Father's Day of 1995, had a guest speaker because the pastor was tired. And it's not a big church, but they had a refreshing. And something happened where people begin to repent and come to Christ. And it was clear that something was more than normal. So they decided, we better go with this. Let's have a meeting on Monday night. Well, let's have one on Tuesday night. And the worship team retooled and said, we better be prepared to do some music. I think more people are coming. All of a sudden, for no reason, people began coming. And as it went on, day after day, week after week, they kept having meetings, Tuesday night through Saturday. 2.5 million people showed up from just about every continent on the planet. Did you know that? The reports are that over the course of this, called a revival, some 200,000 people gave their life to Christ. Now, it was not a big church. And you couldn't plan it. You couldn't make it happen. But these kind of things, that's one story of stories of refreshing that have happened throughout history. Well, what does that mean? Well, one thing it means is I can have a little more faith than I have about the things that God might want to do, and it might change my prayer. One of the things that was important about that is that Paul Yonggi Cho, the pastor of the world's largest church over in South Korea, had prophesied a couple years before that God was going to pour out his spirit in Pensacola, Florida. So the pastor of that church said, maybe we ought to pray about this. So they begin praying about what God might do in the future. So they were prepared in prayer, calling on God, do this thing that this prophet guy said you would do, please. And eventually it happened. This is really important. While we have hope and prayer for these kinds of seasons, that never stops us from saying, well, when that happens, then God will move. And we have manana syndrome, where we don't do anything today. We're always about the work of God today, under our feet this morning, faithfully praying, seeking him, giving, serving, loving, studying, praying, telling people about Jesus, praying for the sick, going out in the streets, going into our neighborhood, going into our schools, doing holy hellos day by day, And if God decides to do one of these refreshing seasons, praise God, pour it on. And we pray that you pour it on, and more. So never let the hope of coming revival prevent you from living in your personal revival today. You know, I maybe somewhere in my notes I wrote that I ought to say this. You be the revival you're hoping will come. In other words, revival or refreshing times sometimes are just one person. I can be revived, I can be renewed. Sometimes they're a locality, a group of people experience a refreshing season of the Lord. Sometimes it happens around the world in multiple places, like a forest fire. You know how we've had fires recently and they get out of control and they just spread? Sometimes the Holy Spirit works that way. And there are times of refreshing. I was going to read to you one of the first revival type experiences we read after Solomon's time. I wonder if I could just share it with you. You know, King David came along and established really the kingdom of God in Israel. We've read some of his stories. And after him, his son came along, Solomon. And they experienced the full blessing of the kingdom of God as a nation. There was peace everywhere. But God had warned them, the people of Israel, when you go into the land of promise, do not get engaged with the people and their pagan practices. Last week we had Professor Winder here. He told us something about the pagan worship that was in all of the pagan lands that all involved these, the worship of the fertility gods. Is that news? Do you know about that? Where you know, most of the world didn't know that there was a God that created an earth. They thought, well, if we want to have a good crop, we need good rain, and so we will do these pagan ceremonies around the fertility gods. And we saw an Asherah pole. We saw a picture of one last week. Were you here? I don't want to be offensive, but it was a giant phallic symbol. That's all it was. And if you looked at the picture, you went, oh, should I be looking at that in my church? That's what that was. It was to let us know what was going on, because what they would do is they would have temple prostitutes, and the worshiper, quote-unquote, would have sex with the temple prostitute around the Asherah pole in hopes that the pagan god would then send a good crop and they'd have good crops. Now, that seems crazy to us, right? But that's what happened all over the pagan land that was going to be the promised land. And God said, when you go into that land, do not marry their daughters, because they'll drag you into that kind of worship. So don't do it. I don't like it. It's evil. It's demonic. Because, as we learned last week, they would take the babies that were the offspring of that kind of practice and offer them as sacrifice to their demon gods by the millions. That's what was happening. And God said, I've never imagined that anyone would be so evil. This is the kind of thing I send a flood for, to destroy the evil, because it grieves my heart. It's horrible. Well, so what happened was David had a son named Solomon, and Solomon liked the women. And he eventually married some of the women from the pagan lands. They eventually drew him into the worship, to where he built shrines for them to do the thing that I just described. Did you know that? And it was sinful. And by the time Solomon died and his son became a king, Israel had split into two nations, Israel and Judah, because of this kind of sin. Judgment was beginning. And they would sometimes repent, but then they'd go back to it. And it spread around the land, this pagan worship mixed with their worship of Almighty God. And so when you read about tearing down of idols, that's what was going on. Well, by the time Solomon's great-grandson was the king, now we're a couple generations farther along, things are really bad. It's spread across the entire nation. And a man named Asa begins one of the first revivals that we read about in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is a history of the people turning their back on God, getting involved in pagan worship that always involved this kind of sexual, orgiastic, crazy sin as worship to the fertility gods. And you just need to know that to understand the Old Testament. The sin would bring judgment. They would fall prey to their enemies. Things would go bad. They would cry out to God. God would raise up someone who would turn back to him. They'd repent, and there'd be a season of revival and refreshing. That's what you would read if you would read 2 Chronicles 14 that I have in your notes there. So Asa comes along, and there's the short version is he tore down these shrines and these Asherah poles and these places of pagan orgiastic worship. One time after he had become king, war came against him, and this is recorded, 2 Chronicles 4, verse 14, verse 11. He cries out to God as his first resort. He doesn't do it as his second resort like so many did. His first resort, he calls out to God and says, Lord, there's no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God. We rely on you in your name. We've come against this vast army. O Lord, you are God. Do not let man prevail against you. And God responded. He always responds in mercy like a loving father to these people, even though they've sinned violently against him, even sacrificing their children to demon gods. God, when they call on him, responds. This happened in this story, and the Lord struck down this army before Asa and Judah. The Spirit of God then landed on one of the prophets and gave this word, and this is what I wanted us to hear, and you see it underscored in your notes. Good luck, Barb, trying to follow what I'm doing, huh, with the projector. This is 2 Chronicles 15. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Odin. The Spirit of the Lord came upon this man. That's already a sign of refreshing. The Spirit of the Lord came, clothed him with power that he might speak like a prophet the word of God. He goes out to meet King Asa and he says, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Those are the two tribes that are now with this nation. Remember, Israel's the 10 tribes, Judah and Benjamin to the south, the other two tribes that are following King David's line. Here's the prophetic word. The Lord is with you when you are with him. See, that's the first phrase of times of refreshing. For your personal refreshing and revival, for us as a group, for nations. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And all through history, God will raise up a person, sometimes a teenage girl, sometimes a man, sometimes a sinful person, sometimes a lawyer. I'm describing to you just some of the professions of people who've been leaders of revivals in history. They begin to seek God, and when we seek God, he's always found by us. If we will seek him with all our heart, we will find him, and he will respond, and he'll show us the path we are to walk on. He will certainly bring refreshing to us, and often he'll bring a season of refreshing to a large group, a nation, a region, sometimes around the world. And that's the history of revivals. The end of that whole section, verse 15, it says, they sought God eagerly. He was found by them, so the Lord gave them rest on every side, season of refreshing under Asa. So they went through and proclaimed the word of God. The entire nation began to seek God again, and God responded. Another word he said in Asa's life, for the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Here's a summary sentence for us. And it's kind of instructive for us. The season, long season of refreshing under Asa, and then his son Jehoshaphat, which is another amazing revival story, was marked by repentance, which came out today by the Spirit of God, tearing down idols, consecration to God, and always a restoration of worship. The common pattern throughout Israel's history and church's history. Is it possible that God is calling his people to repentance? Risking being offensive to us, can I risk being offensive to us? The same spirit at work in the Baal worship, in the Asherah worship that involved rampant sexual immorality and killing of children is at work today in Western culture. We just don't call it pagan gods. I didn't see the Super Bowl last week, but I understand there was a bit of an Asherah pole in the halftime show. You make the connection if you saw it. Where there was a display outside God's gift of sex for a husband and wife, with songs and dancing and celebration simulating something like an orgy for the nation and the nations to watch and rejoice in. I hope I haven't been offensive, but I hope I wake us up. I'm told that if I were single and went to most churches today, it would be very common for me to be sleeping with someone that I'm not married to in the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm told by women that they'll go to a church and can't believe of the people in the church they're propositioned and asked to go home and go to bed with them in. Have I gone too far for you? So that would be just one area of sin. You know, there's lots of areas where we choose to go against the very clear word of God, the Ten Commandments, you know, where we lie, where we might steal, where we give ourselves over to substances. That's idolatry rather than to God, who has come with everything we need for life. But instead of going to him, we might go to a bottle and it becomes a master over us. In seasons of refreshing that we read about in the Bible, they're always marked with repentance and consecration to God and tearing down idols. You do know that in Western culture, we've sacrificed something like in the 50 million babies in abortion. And I feel like it might not be that far removed from what the Israelites were doing. Well, now you went too far. We could repent for our nation. God sees all the evil, and he has compassion and mercy on us. And his son has died on the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And he calls to us, turn from your sins and come to me, and I will forgive you and I will give you life. And I just wonder if maybe we're at a season where some of us are being called to turn away from the various sins that we've been embracing, so that times of refreshing may come. Let's hear Peter's words again. Repent and believe that times of refreshing will come. Repent and believe that times of refreshing will come. Here's a sentence, group of sentences from a couple paragraphs together in a book called Revival, Our Eternal Hope by Glenn Foster. Revival encompasses all of God's works in a single sweep of his hand, leaving in its wake blessings only possible through God's mighty power. Revival is birthed in the chambers of prayer. It's released on the wings of praise and raised up where God's people are gathered in unity. Most importantly, revival comes when God's people walk in the glory of his presence. True revival is the result of man's exposure to God's unveiled presence. Those of you that walk in certain circles and hear the reports know that, not unlike the guy that spoke the prophecy, the revival was coming to Pensacola in 93. The word came in 95, it happened. There have been people that are prophetically inclined, seeing and saying and praying that God is going to do it again in Southern California. Literally, people have moved to Southern California because they've heard the voice of God. I'm saying I'm going to move and bring this kind of refreshing. And people, I know of people who've literally moved to Southern California because they said, I've heard the voice of God and I want to be right in the center of it. So there's a sense of, I need to be right with God and I need to be personally revived. And I'm praying that he will do above and beyond that which could possibly happen with our day-to-day grind of work in serving him and following him. And we ask that you do, that you pour out your spirit. And part of the preparation is that I take every idol that I have in my life and I tear it down and I consecrate myself to seek God with all my heart. And I don't make him secondary and tertiary, third and fourth in my life, but I make him first in my life. And I don't say, well, I don't have time for him because I've got, you know, Netflix, so I don't have time for God. And I say, no, I think I'll shut off the Netflix. And I will put my focus on seeking my God because I find in him more life than I find in reruns. Just telling the truth, people. If an alien were to land and look at some of the lives of some of us, he might assume that we find more life in Netflix than we find in God because that's where we put our time. Oh, now you've gone to meddling, Ron. Preacher stuff, right? Just saying. A season of turning a mindset, repent, turn away from everything that I know is sin, from lukewarmness towards seeking God with my whole heart, gathering to worship, longing for his presence, learning of him and his word, gathering to pray with my friends, fellowshipping around the name of God, seeking him, saying, Lord, I need you, I have nothing else, and every idol that you show me in my life, I will tear down and no longer have it. If you are living today, and I'm telling you gently, but you know, the voice of in the Bible, you'd hear someone say this, repent from your sin and flee the wrath to come. You know, turn. If you are choosing to live in sexual immorality, I'm calling on you, please hear the voice of God. It's not what he has for you. Turn from it. Here's God's plan for sex. Chastity until you're married. Fidelity after you're married. And that's it. It's really simple. If you're not living that way, which is huge in our culture, so much so that people look at me like I'm an alien when I suggest, no, you wouldn't live together before you're married. That would be sin. They're like, what? I have no idea. That's God's gift to you and his plan. If you're living in sexual sin, repent today. If you are giving yourself over to addictions, and it hasn't yet become something that controls you and you think you're in charge of it and you can smoke a little dope and you can get a little bit buzzed on Friday night and party a little bit because you're in control, watch out before that substance takes over your life. Watch out and turn from it today and gather around people and say, you know what, I've been sinning and going too far and I thought I was in control. I want to change and I want all that God has for me. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to seek him until times of refreshing come in my life. Whether or not they come to my nation, I'm going to have refreshing for me. I'm going to seek you, God. There's a sense, I think, that we're hearing from voices in our own church and voices around our area that God is poised to pour out his spirit again in times of refreshing. Let's not miss it. Let's seek him. Who knows? But that what happened in the 1970s, the 60s actually, when my parents and my wife's parents came into a vibrant faith in Jesus because he poured out his spirit on our nation in one of these times of refreshing, maybe he'll do it again. It's been 50 years. Good time for a year of jubilee. We pray that way. We seek it. How you doing? Let's stand up. Oh, you know what we need to do is have communion. This guy preaches too long. Maybe the band will come up and play some worship quietly. This is a good way to repent. The blood of Jesus poured out for our sins, his body broken, represented by the communion table. Here we have the bread and the juice. Come before the Lord, celebrate his death, and thank him for the life that we have because he died for us. And if necessary, call on him in repentance and say, I'm turning away and I'm turning toward you, and come and celebrate communion the way Jesus said to. Ministry team people, would you make yourself available on the sides here? You'll see people that are looking like they want to pray for you. You might need to ask them to lay hands on you and see the blessing that will come. Maybe you're repenting and you need someone to pray with you. Maybe you need healing, and this is a day where it will be like what we read about in that time of refreshing where the sick were healed and the lame were healed and the blind were healed and the demonized were set free. You come and get ministry. I'm going to end, but let's just continue to push on into the Lord that times of refreshing may come. God bless you, God.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. This weekly podcast is available on our website, gracevcf.org, where you can learn more about Grace Vineyard and our vision for people everywhere to know and worship God.